welcome to This Versus That, Making Wedding Decisions with Kelly McWilliams. This podcast is for you if you're making a wedding decision and want to know what to consider before saying I do to all the things that will make your wedding experience a great one. I'm your host, Kelly McWilliams, and I'm so glad to be a part of your wedding planning journey. In each episode, you can count on me and my expert wedding co-hosts to give you everything it takes to make the best decisions for the wedding that you're dreaming of. Prepare to be a little bit shocked with this one. That's because in this episode, Corinne and I, who's been on the show, I think maybe 3 or 4 times now, go through all the things that are standard included or could be standard and included with your venue's wedding package or that you might want to upgrade. Here's the tricky part. Some things aren't an upgrade. Some things just aren't included. And that's where I almost hate to say upgrading because sometimes they're just not there and you have to do it, but you don't know that until after you sign on the dotted line. So Corinne and I tried to go through as many things as possible during this episode to let you guys know what potentially is included or standard and ways that you can upgrade them, but also trying to make you aware of some things that are quite often just not included at all and maybe not talked about. So, although she's been on the show a few times, I'm still going to tell you about her. As a multi-published designer, Corinne Hassan has extensive experience and not inhibited by her effortless, understated, and organic designs that will last the test of time. Her talents lie in discovering client style and recreating it in a celebratory space in a way that is absolutely their own. In her over 15 years of event experience, she has designed large-scale events for international corporate companies, including a Fortune 500 company, assisted in executing celebrity weddings abroad, as well as designed over 600 weddings and events from coast to coast. She works closely with her equally talented husband, Jason Teeters of Jet Set State, who builds entrepreneurs from the ground up, as well as homeschools her 2 toddlers, Maura and Kesh, named after the location in Morocco the 2 were married. Good morning, Corinne.
Good morning, Kelly.
This makes you look really, really official because this is your 3rd episode, or is it 4th?
I think 3rd. Yeah.
That sounds right. 3rd episode. Yeah. And we have another 2 coming down the pipes after this one. So you're going to be like 5-timer club, which 5-timer club, I feel like deserves something.
Like confetti?
Confetti? Nobody can see confetti, though.
Oh, right.
We'll have to think of something.
At least it's eco-friendly, so
Maybe we'll have a special introduction sound for you, for all 5-timers, like some kind of confetti sound.
There we go. On.
Okay, I just have to figure out how to do that, or have Lance, our awesome editor, figure out how to do that. More likely him. Okay,
fun.
So we have the best episode so far, I think. Well, no, it's not. I mean, I think that every single time, let's be honest about it.
Well, it's just fun because this is the part that we like really get into is, you know, when the design starts. And
yeah, but I think also just very importantly is that so many people don't recognize or acknowledge standard included things when they're choosing their venues. And,
you know, that's a good point. I just had that conversation with a client day before yesterday. You know, she's just comparing venues and what's included in one is different than what's included in the other. But the reality is, like, does it even matter? Are you going to use it? And that's kind of what we're here to discuss. So, yeah, you're right. It starts from the very beginning when you're comparing venues.
Yeah. So I think that we should start there. I think we should start by talking about standard included for venues in general. Because I really feel like this is such an important topic to consider from day one when you're at the venue selection point. It is incredibly important, guys, that when you're choosing your venue, like when you go on your first site tour, to take pictures of everything, whether you think it's important at that point or not, doesn't matter because you're not going to remember. You're going to remember like how you felt when you were there and the cute picture you took with your fiance or the
food. And video.
The, you know,
taking video.
Yeah.
Is really key too. I mean, photos are great, but I always look back to my video for like that spatial recognition and
yes.
for those little tiny bits of like molding or wallpaper or designs or whatever that I just, you know, forgot.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that those things you don't necessarily look at the first time that you walk through. And depending on when you went, the room or location that you were looking at may not look the way it does on a standard occasion. For example, Karen and I both, you and I can say without a doubt, you know, on Saturdays or Fridays or Sundays, we do a lot of destination weddings. So really it could be any day of the week here.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. So especially on weekends, so many sites going through site tours where the venue managers, the wedding coordinators from the venue, whoever does those at the venue will be taking potential couples to view. Mm-hmm. Well, if there's a wedding designer there or any kind of wedding happening at that point, you're seeing it dressed. And you're seeing it dressed in someone else's design perspective, mm-hmm. you know, and their aesthetics. And there's a very minimal chance that you're seeing it dressed the way that you would in a standard and included situation. So it's incredibly important that as you're walking through in those initial site tours to ask, is this what I'm seeing? What would all of this be standard included? So you're looking at, Corinne, help me with this whole list. Are these chairs?
Yeah.
Are these tables? Are these linens? Is this lighting?
Dance floor.
The dance floor.
Staging.
The stage for band, riser for DJ, the bars.
Yeah. Your flatware, your glassware, your plates.
Everything on the table. Yep. Flatware, glassware, place settings. What else?
Often cake sometimes is included, which is a something you consider.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm not thinking so much like food and beverage wise though.
You're just thinking when you walk
I'm
through.
Thinking like spatial elements that are included. Are the ceremony chairs included and are the reception chairs included? And what are they?
And high top tables,
low cocktail tables. You want to take pictures and
lighting.
Video of all of these things. Yeah, I said lighting.
Lighting is a huge one. Yeah.
And lighting's a big one. Make sure you ask about lighting indoors and lighting outside because those are two very different things. And
it's a big price point. If it's not included and you assume it is, that's a big price point later on down the road when you realize, oh, shoot, like that lighting I saw when I did that walkthrough isn't included.
Yeah, yeah. Because quite often, when I go out on site tours with my clients, we'll see the cafe lights. Mm-hmm. And some people call them Edison lights or festival lights, cafe lights, the big bulb lights that are strung on lines.
String lights.
Overhead. Yeah. String lights. They'll be there. And so in their head, they're thinking that's included. Well, someone paid, depending on your venue, and this is why you have to ask, someone potentially paid for those to be up, and it could truly be thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So, and sometimes a venue includes it standard free, or it is something that you have to get through them at a cost, or you have to find your own vendor to bring it in.
Right.
So, big questions, and I know I think we listed off a lot there. But, Brynn, is there anything else that you can think of that I'm not thinking of that? Oh, indoor and outdoor chairs. You're going to look and ask for what chairs are included and available both indoors and for outdoors. Because in some locations, the chairs that they have outside for ceremonies can also be inside and sometimes not. And sometimes inside you'll have a standard ballroom chair, which in many places is a ugly meeting chair.
Yeah, like a conference chair.
Yeah, or you can use the same ones that they have outside. And you'll also want to ask how many that they have available, because not every venue has enough the number of guests that you're having. Some may say, and again, you have to turn back to your contract or lean on your venue coordinator or manager for this, how many come included in case you have a larger guest count?
Yep, and that goes for high top tables and your guest tables too. I mean, there's often just a limited amount, and sometimes they only have rounds and they don't have long. And
yeah,
so I mean, you really want to make sure that you know the quantity of everything that it's included.
Yes. And sometimes they're longs. Like I know some hotels that we work at only have 6 foot longs, and others have both 6 and 8 foot, and that can really play a big role when it comes to your tabletop design and how many people are seated at a table
and the width. I know a lot of people that are just getting married, they don't realize that there's different table widths, and a lot of the widths of tables that you see on Pinterest that have a fully laid out table with a large centerpiece arrangement and place settings with charger plates, those aren't your standard width tables. Those are actually often brought in or built using the venue's existing tables and being creative. So there is a lot that goes into that, really knowing what's included and having that in your arsenal to build later on.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that we should bring up with standard included, backup space. I know this is kind of like off a bit, but
I think we should include it because it's
huge potential cost and something
especially in Florida for us.
Well, anywhere that you could be doing outdoor, any portion of your wedding outdoors. So, or if the size of your wedding changes, and we're seeing a lot of that right now with COVID, guys, that guest lists are far higher than they were prior to Corona. And so what you initially thought you would have maybe 75 to 85% return for yes, I'm coming. These days we're looking at 85 to 95 easy all day long. And we're also seeing that our RSVPs are going up after, when it gets closer to the wedding, like in the last 10 days, all of a sudden people are changing their minds and being like, never mind, I'm coming. You know, I feel good about this now. And so last minute, there's numbers going up. So when we say check in the beginning about standard included, find out what your standard included backup location is for ceremony, cocktail, and reception. Any portion that could potentially be in a position where it may have to be moved either because of weather or guest count change.
Yeah. And some places it's not included, and that means a tent. So when you're making those initial decisions on what venue to pick, I always encourage my clients to, if they're not choosing us for full service, because of course, full service, we would do this service for them. But if they're not, then to just line item each one of these things when comparing venues, so that, for example, in your table line item, you would list what's included there. And then, of course, that's a zero cost for that venue. But then if another venue has or doesn't include tables, then that is a cost. So when you're comparing those, you want to make sure that you're identifying that cost.
And that plays a role in when it comes to financials, when you're comparing bottom line numbers, because one might look way more expensive when you think about the site fee. Like, let's say, just to rent the spot or your site fee is, let's say, $5,000. For one, and for the other one, it's only one. You're like, well, clearly this is going to be less expensive. Yeah, but does the one that has only a $1,000 site fee? Does it include all of these other things?
Right.
And if it doesn't,
I mean, your chairs could be $1,500, your lighting could be $1,500, your dance floor is another $1,000, your staging is another $1,000. So there you've made your $5,000 up.
Yep.
And so really
been more.
Yeah, sure. Easily. So that's why I think it really is important to just line item each one of those things so that you're actually comparing. And then also something to consider, you know, maybe there's a venue that is $15,000 venue fee because it has like upgraded chairs, upgraded tables, chandelier, yes, draping, you know, charger plates, everything's included. But what if you don't like it?
Yes.
What if it's not your vibe?
Yeah.
You know, so exactly. I think, you know, really going into depth and when you do those walkthroughs, taking pictures of each one of those elements that are included so that you can truly compare pricing at the very beginning.
Right. Something that I thought about when you brought that up earlier, Corinne, is when, you know, when we were talking about like taking all the pictures and the video on your original site tour, because you're not going to remember later. While for the most part, floors do disappear during the reception, sometimes they do not.
Yeah.
And the picture, if you go back, if you were to go on Instagram or any photographer's website or any venue's website, you're going to see things fully decorated. Mm-hmm. And mostly the images taken during the day. It's rare that anyone publishes these days their evening images, unless it's just like so full of candlelight and it's beautiful and gorgeous, but they're hard. They're very difficult to find. So you want to do what you can to see what that kind of, you know, atmosphere looks like in the evening, if at all possible. And if that's something that you want to distract from, especially I think a big deal is dance floors when it comes to that situation. Like,
yeah,
they can make all the difference if you got,
they really can.
Or in spatial, like, you know, the difference, like if you have a dance floor that you have measured appropriately to look full, mm-hmm, the whole time, but in, the room is maybe too big. And so you've got the table spread out, let's say 12 feet from the dance floor. And sometimes you got to do what you got to do. You know, maybe, mm-hmm, you have perimeter lounge around it. Sure. But there, your dance floor is going to have all of this carpeting potentially around it that could throw, mm-hmm, the whole thing off. So
yeah, and just the shape of the dance floor. I mean, you really want to see the shape of that dance floor and see what condition it's in too.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like,
oh, it's like it's a rounder. Like,
how many different shapes do you know about?
But that brings that brings up another point though. They're all different sizes. So they're generally put together in individual squares. So some are often 4x4, but they aren't always. So, you know, knowing those dimensions too, you know, right off the bat so that you can plan accordingly so that, you know, your staging matches the same size as your dance floor, if that's something you're going for, or if you want long, narrow, or, but just knowing those dimensions so you know what kind of size dance floor you can put together.
And also we need to, guys, you need to consider the size of the dance floor, what's included there too, because some venues are like the most that you can have is 18 by 18. Right. Well, if you've got 250 people at your wedding,
you have to rent a dance floor.
Not big enough. Sure. You know, you have to go much larger than that for it to
and
be
it's
comfortable.
Not, it's not often adding on to that one. It's getting a whole new one,
yep,
because adding on isn't really an option. So there's that inclusion that, you know, doesn't really apply to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then something else to consider, staging often is included, but a lot of times it's not. And then also dressing the front of that stage. Generally what's included, if a stage is included, I would say majority of venues would be skirting to cover the legs of that stage. And you have to make sure that's something you want, or else you're going to have to, you know, also have stage fronting or
yeah.
What facade. Is the word I'm thinking
stage
of?
Facade.
Facade, yeah.
Yeah. Or stage
like fronting?
Wrap.
So, yeah, so, wrap. There
yeah.
you go.
So I think we've covered all of the things that you should consider and look into when it comes to your standard items. Okay. So I think we've pretty much touched on everything that is, one more thing. If you're working at a, so this, I know, we try so hard to keep things short and simple, but
what is it?
We need to talk about when you're doing a full build out for like at a home or on a piece of land that doesn't have all the built-ins. Yes. It, like there are no standard included.
Like restrooms are a huge thing.
Yes.
Power.
Power,
water,
restrooms, lighting for the catering team.
Yeah. Like, you know, like, oh, yeah. So that's always forgotten. Poor caterers. Always stumbling in the dark.
Oh, my gosh. It's terrible. So when you're renting these plots of land or fields or a home, a private home, there are far more things that you need to ask about whether they are standard included. I think those are some of the big ones right there.
Yeah.
Power. Lighting,
restrooms.
Restrooms are a big one. Water, water access. Ice and ice access.
Yeah.
These are all things that have to be considered if you know for some of these locations. There's a lot of like barns and pavilions and beach property and lawns, you know, things like that, that really someone just pretty much owns the land and they rent it out. And you're responsible for potentially everything or sometimes not. Even things like garbage.
Oh, and parking. Yeah, garbage and parking.
Parking.
Parking at any of these places, really, because you have to look for if it's a hotel, then valet, if that's included.
Yeah.
Guest parking. Parking, I think, is a big one for all of these locations.
Yeah. I'm surprised. I mean, this is overwhelming. I'm thinking about this. Like, it comes so naturally for you and I.
Yeah.
But for someone who really doesn't know,
it's a lot.
They might be scared right now, Corinne.
Yeah, I know. I know, but it's all about being, you know,
but this is why we do this, right?
Being prepared.
Yes. Yeah,
and just listing. Just rewind this episode. Listen through. List those items out. And then call one of those rental companies that have everything. So like your general rental company that just has all the things. And just get a estimated quote for all of these items, tents and floors, and then have that as your price point for each one of these line items so that you can truly compare apples to apples.
Yes, exactly that. Exactly that. One other thing before we move on to upgrades and the potential kinds of upgrades that you can do, something else popped in my head. I didn't want to forget to say transportation.
Sure.
Because some properties have where you need to be transported from parking to ceremony, the guests have to be, or ceremony to cocktail, or cocktail to reception, back to their hotel rooms or villas or homes. Like, so find that's another question to ask about, like what's included.
Getting those, I know this is so technical. I feel like it's overwhelming for someone that doesn't know.
But let's say it out loud,
that's what we're here for. Getting the capacities for their transportation and getting the turnaround times for location to location, because at, you know, sometimes, you know, if you have a larger group than that venue, is, you know, generally prepared for, you know, maybe the turnaround time is too long for the transportation they have. So you need to beef it up and get your own transportation.
Yeah. So to explain what Corinne is, like in detail, exactly what we're talking about here. Let's say that your venue says, oh, yes, we include transportation to get your guests from parking to the ceremony location that is so far away that, you know, it's so private that you can only get there via this mode of transportation. Mm-hmm. What she's saying is you may have a wedding that's 200 people, but their one vehicle that brings everyone there only holds 40. So if it only holds 40, that means there's five trips. So how long is it going to take to get 200 people via five trips back and forth? And is that a great experience for your guests? not really. So,
and then you have to get them back. So then they're missing half of cocktail too.
Exactly. So, and
so the name of the game is as much detail in what's included as you can get.
Yeah. And I know we're just scaring you with all of this, guys, but I promise, like, if you go in the beginning and you ask all of these right off the bat, you're to know where to go for all of it afterwards. So just, but again, so you're going to do that for peace of mind. So you know what you have to build off of so that you can really make a conscious and educated decision if you're torn between venues, especially because of finances, you know, which ones outweigh the others. So for those kinds of things. So, okay, let's talk about the more fun part, upgrading things. So everything that we mentioned, I think, can be upgraded.
Yeah, and we certainly upgraded all.
We love to upgrade. Everybody loves a good upgrade.
So where should we start with, though?
I think we should start at, let's start at transportation and then do ceremony, then do cocktail, and then do reception.
Oh, I like it.
How about that? Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to work through. Just so everyone knows, the best way to work through is always, you know, in that order, you know, just following the guest experience.
Yes.
I think when you're working through anything, when it comes to weddings, just follow the guest experience from arrival to when they leave.
Yeah.
So that's a good idea.
I'm going to do a quick plug for my Are You Ready Yet 107 Guide Questions
workbook.
Yeah, because I think that's another way to make sure that you've captured all of these things. You can get it off my shop, guys. It's on the website. But basically, it's just going to make sure when you get to the end of your wedding planning that you have touched on all of these things and there's no loopholes. Now, I think even just as we talk through this, you can understand why, how easily it was for us to come up with, I think it's actually over 175 questions on there. But, you know, if you can answer all these, you're going to be in good shape. So, okay. All right. So let's talk about from guest arrival, things that you can upgrade. So the first thing, just going back to the last thing we talked about with standard included, is transportation, if necessary, from where your guests are parking or coming from, in cases you're like all on a resort, to the ceremony or throughout the wedding. So what we were saying earlier is if the venue does or does not provide transportation, the different kinds of transportation that you can do. Some places offer trolleys. You can do
trolleys, golf carts, buses,
vans, buses, and shuttles. Now, here's the thing: with those, you really have to reach out to the transportation companies, tell them where your wedding is at, and find out if they can fit. I know that sounds nuts.
It is so often it's like shocks me the kinds of vehicles that cannot turn around in like, you know, large portages. Like I'm like, really? You can't get through? Okay, cool.
No.
So it's just something that you really need to know.
Yeah, you got 11 feet and the shuttle is 16. So it's not going under there. And I know quite often my
clients, just radiuses and it's just the stuff
tight turnarounds.
Like, yeah.
Trees that are low hanging.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't look.
Oh my gosh. We've had to cut out a fence before just to get our rental truck in. Things to think about.
Yeah. So when planning transportation for your guests and you found out that, you know, this is what's included, even just going back to our initial example, if the venue provides something that is going to take too long and not create a great guest experience, then consider getting additional rentals to make that happen so much faster. Maybe you have some 14 passenger sprinters or vans.
Those are my favorite.
Golf carts. Golf cart parades are my favorite.
But, I love golf cart and I love the van option just because it's speedy.
Yep.
And they can, you know, canvas an area.
Yes.
You're not kind of like stuck doing one route. You can kind of like send them out to multiple routes, and it's just very efficient. So yes. Think about that too.
So let's say you have guests staying at four different hotels for your wedding, mm-hmm. Vans or mini shuttles, which are typically 25 to 32 passengers, some go up to like 36, are an option because you can have them starting in all the different locations and get in there at once. And what's a huge benefit to that is that you can have all of your guests arrive at the same time. And, then know that you're starting on time because they left at a place where you have them scheduled to arrive at the same time, which is so nice to be able to do.
And you can split them up. You know, if you need bridal party picked up, you know, you can send one off to pick up bridal party separate from the guests. And also, you know, generally, and I guess this is kind of off topic, but often you have to rent them in like 4 hour increments or 3 hour increments. And of course, if you're only using them for ceremony, you only need them for, you know, an hour and a half. So you have the extra hour and a half. You can let some go, keep some on if there are, you know, several vans, because at the end of the night, you don't necessarily need as many as you need for your ceremony to bring people back since they stagger. So
yes,
it's just nice to be able to let half of the fleet go.
Yes, absolutely. When possible.
Yeah.
Okay. So we talked about you can do shuttles, golf carts, vans, trolleys, gondolas if you're up in the mountains, sleds, you know, if, you know, I mean, I mean, there's taxis, sure.
boats. We have lots of boats here.
Yeah. We got, if you're in the islands, it might be something that you're doing. Pedicabs.
I'm sure there's plenty.
There's plenty of options. And you know what? Ask your venue. If you don't have a planner, your planner's, you know, if you've got a full service planner, they're going to do all those for you. But ask your venue manager, what have people done in the past to alleviate, you know, any transportation?
They'll have their favorites.
And they'll have their favorites. And, you know.
And it's always nice to get transportation that's familiar with the area.
Yes, definitely, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we got everyone to the ceremony. And then for the ceremony, what comes standard and included? We know,
I mean,
it could be nothing and it could be chairs.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be about it. It's usually included. Maybe a lemonade and water station.
Something else to consider that I think is often missed when we have like our month of service clients. Is miking the ceremony. So some venues include amplification at the ceremony and some don't.
Yes.
And it's always something that is forgotten to be added on. So make sure that you know if that is included or not.
Yeah.
Through your venue. And if not, make sure that it is added if you need it, if you have a large count.
Yeah. And I will say it's rare that it's included. There's just very that I've come across that it's actually included, that is something that has to be added on through their audiovisual company or outside.
Yeah, I guess altogether. It's more just confusing whether it's included or not, because often it has to be through the venue's AV company, but you have to also pay for it. So I think often it's thought that it's included because you have to go through them, but it's not. You still have to
pay for it.
Add it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So at the ceremony site, so we're talking about AV.
Chairs.
Is one. Chairs.
Chairs.
Okay. So I feel like quite often you'll see on Instagram or Facebook pages, websites, vendor and creative partner portfolios, all these beautiful chairs that are at ceremony sites. Mm-hmm. And it is rare that I feel like you see what is included. So chairs are a wonderful thing to upgrade at a ceremony. Yes. Often their chairs are not in great shape.
Right.
They've just been used hundreds and hundreds of times over, and could be, if they're ones that are for outdoor, especially, they could be very dirty. And the ones indoors often are just quite often just like chipped in. Yeah. You know, not in the best shape. just because they've been used over and over again. So chairs are one of the things that I feel like, I think you agree with me, Corinne, make the largest difference.
I am a huge advocate for chair upgrade before anything else at the ceremony.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, I feel like if you invest in a beautiful chair and it's just at a beautiful location, that is a high-end wedding already.
Yeah. It changes the look altogether.
Absolutely.
I will say this, and I think this is pretty much throughout the country, that the standard chair is a white chair.
White resin folding chair.
Yes. Or it is a gold Jabari. Like, I feel like that's what you're going to see all across the country as your standard chair if it is included. What I will also say is you don't have to stick to chairs. There are also pews. There are benches. You could bring lounge furniture in and like soft seating. You could choose not to have chairs. And if you have a short ceremony, short as in, we've got a tiny, tiny wedding party, so the processional doesn't take long, and our ceremony is 7.5 minutes. Nobody wants to be standing longer than that, especially if you're in the hot or cold or wind. So something to consider for that. There's lots of different options to like upgrade when it comes to ceremonies. Besides just chairs, but there's so many chairs available, guys, and they really do make a difference in, if you have a long ceremony, you want the most comfortable chair.
Sure.
Indian weddings, you know, you're out there for minimum of an hour, could be up to 2.5. Jewish weddings tend to be a little bit longer, closer to 30 to 45 minutes. But if you're having a very civil wedding that doesn't include a lot of spiritual, it might only be 7 minutes. So maybe you could get the cooler chair that you really liked, even though it's not quite as comfortable because no one's sitting in them for quite as long.
Right.
But consider that besides your actual ceremony time, everyone is actually sitting in them for a solid 15 to 25 minutes before the ceremony even starts. So just consider that for your guest comfort as well. Padding goes a long way.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah. And I always say, like, if you are going to use venue chairs, then my rule of thumb is always to have your structure match that chair. So if you're keeping your white resin folding chairs, do a white arbor or white platform or whatever you're adding, make sure that the furniture matches.
Yes.
My two cents to make it look intentional. Always matching your furniture.
I fully agree with you on that. Upgrading when it comes to ceremonies besides chairs, what you have at the altar surrounding you or above you. Some places do include an arch.
That's true. Some do include.
Yeah, some include an arch.
I've never used one before, personally.
Well, sometimes we're hired after the fact, and that's already the plan. So, and some places have a few different ones to choose from, and some of them are okay. This is not always the case. Some have some beautiful structures that that are built in, like they're not going anywhere, like a gazebo that is you know, or you're using, you're getting married next to a fountain.
Or a dock or like a fountain.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes, yes, yes. So in those instances, there's not really a place to upgrade it other than like dressing it, you know, with floral or greenery or draping, something like that. So, but some do offer their own arches. Take pictures of these and ask to see them because, again, just like we were saying before, sometimes they're really beat up. Sometimes the
scale is is usually what I find to be like the thing that's missing in the included pieces. Mm-hmm. They're just not big enough.
Yeah.
They just look kind of dinky.
Yeah.
And you're down.
Like
your
if they look like the ones that you can purchase at Lowe's or Home Depot, your local garden center. Yeah. Too small. Just the way that it's going to hit you from the back. Like, and it's either going to hide everything or just going to be like, oh, there's poles sticking out of my head there.
That's what often happens. Yeah, yes. You'll be standing right in front of your florals and covering everything.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's not what you want. And then you might want to ask if there's any kind of aisle treatment that you can do. That's a great upgrade when you have that opportunity. Is there anything else that would be upgraded?
Just like platforms and risers and aisles.
Aisles. Mm-hmm. Aisles are a big one. And there's
so just structure, mm-hmm. Building the ceremony, you could go nuts.
Yeah, but absolutely. And also consider the ceremony from both perspectives, meaning looking down the aisle towards the altar, but also looking down the aisle from the altar. This is why this is important. When everyone turns to look at you and your wedding party coming down the aisle, they are seeing where you're coming from. If it is ugly back there and that's what they're looking at the first time that they see you, not so great always. So if there's any way to upgrade that area and to like put that into consideration when you're doing your ceremony planning, I think it's really key to do. So take pictures from both perspectives, take video from both perspectives so that you, and this is a picture that I feel like everyone leaves out. And they're like, oh no, what did that look like back there? Mm-hmm. And, you know, consider if that's something that you need to talk to your designer or whoever's going to be responsible for that in the beginning. So another thing that's okay. So I said, let's not talk about food and beverage, but just for a minute at your ceremony, there's a couple of other things that you can upgrade. Water stations, like you can do not just flat water, but you can do flat and or bubbly. You could have
fruit
lemonade
and used and
You can do a champagne welcome, you know, there at your ceremony, which is always so nice. And everyone loves that. And then comfort stations is what I call them. Did you just say shoes?
Right.
Is that what you said?
Shoes. Oh, no, I didn't. But shoe valets.
Yeah. Shoe valets are really, I call them comfort stations. Corinne calls them shoe valets. But if you're getting, and this, again, this is for outdoor that we're talking about in this, in these instances. Especially if you're getting married on the sand or on the grass where someone, you guys may be taking their shoes off, you know, somewhere for them to be able to take their shoes off, perhaps grab a shoe bag, you know, to put their shoes into and slip on a other pair of flip-flops or just go barefoot. You know, these are things that you want to consider, and then things to wipe off before they put their shoes back on the way out. And again, that's for outdoor ceremonies. I hope that you don't have to consider this for inside. So,
and then of course, weather, you know, all of those comforts, you know, parasols and hand fans and just having all of that stuff.
Market umbrellas, if you're outside, is an important thing. Those are great upgrades, especially if there's just not shade provided. That's a good way to do that. Just consider that market umbrellas are not meant for standing height, they're meant for seated. So that's something you would put like over the ceremony location, you know, the actual where you're sitting and not standing.
And weighted down.
Absolutely.
Weighted down.
Oh, wind.
With those heavy duty industrial weights.
Yes. Yes. okay. So, Corinne, can you think of anything else? If you're getting married at dusk.
At ceremony. No.
We might have lighting. To consider lighting.
Sure.
It's, I feel like those are kind of rare, but inside, if you're doing them, really important to consider the lighting for your ceremony and what's included in a ballroom. Let's touch base on that actually more so when we get to reception, because I feel like that's, we can talk about all lighting things in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So we leave ceremony. It's time to go to cocktail hour.
Transportation again.
Yep. Think about the transportation.
We've already covered. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then we're at cocktail hour. So your high top tables, your cocktail tables, your chairs with your cocktail tables, lighting. So all of that. And your bars too.
Your bars. So these are all things that you can upgrade. And, you know, if you've got it in your spending plan to do that, then that is, I mean, these are wonderful things. And I know that cocktail hour is not somewhere that your guests spend a lot of time at. It's just 1 hour of your wedding, but it's the first part of the celebration part of it. So investing a little bit into this part of the day can be really great. An inexpensive way to like up it a bit is with linens. Do something in this, your cocktail hour, you can really stretch it.
Yeah, really push the envelope there.
Yeah, do
printed
fun
stuff.
Use patterns and different textures out there. And because the tables are different shapes and sizes, I mean, you just, there's so far you can go with this. I am not one in design to put a lot on top of cocktail tables, meaning centerpieces. I would rather invest in the linen. And I would, I would rather invest.
It's a bigger footprint.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Cocktail tables are, you know, typically between...
Very utilitary.
They're usually like 28 to 30, maybe 36 inches. So they're small. And they're really meant to, for you to be able to put your drink down on, or maybe your small plate from a past appetizer.
And I think often an opportunity is missed for bar stools at your cocktail tables. I think that's nice at your high tops. Bringing in bar stools really dresses it up. I mean, even if you had the venue linen and brought in a really beautiful bar stool, I mean, that's another option.
Or bringing in upgraded tables that don't even need linens for cocktail hour can be really nice. I love communal tables, standing communal tables.
Love them. Or pub tables.
Yes. Yes. And those, when we talk about those guys, they're the same height as a high boy or high cocktail table. But they are large enough that 6 to 8 people can easily surround them. So when you, your friends all see each other and they just want to sit and chat together for a bit, those are great tables for that.
And right now, all the rage in those grazing tables, I think that's kind of still around. I love having that at cocktail table or a cocktail hour, just having a large grazing table in the center of the space. That has like a beautiful display, like cheeses and fruits, and, you know, and it just kind of can create a centerpiece. Maybe putting a beautiful linen on that. And
Absolutely.
I think the food can really, you know, really paying attention to the food and cocktails for a cocktail hour and really showcasing those things.
And I think that's a good point to bring up, and where we do need to talk about food and beverage when it comes to upgrading at during cocktail hour. There's things that you can ask to be upgraded, or that you can, you know, ask, is this possible? The trays that you're servicing the food on, the hors d'oeuvres, that can often be a very inexpensive thing to do, upgrade, like to make something look really great, or the vessels that the food is being you know, served out in,
or name tags for your foods, for your stationer, or name tags for the foods from your stationer that match the rest of your stationery suite.
Absolutely.
Is a beautiful way. Or little stir sticks for your cocktail, for your bar that match your aesthetics.
Cocktail napkins.
Signature drinks. Yeah. Cocktail napkins.
Signature drink signs.
Signage. And I mean, there's a few weddings we're doing right now, and I know you've done it in the past too, where we're doing like cheese pairings, and, you know, like having little like action stations and little education around your food and beverage at cocktail hour is really nice.
And if you're doing any kind of station where there's maybe chef attended or not, ask what kind of vessel these foods are in. Like if it's just an ugly chafing dish, it's going to throw the whole thing off. You know, find out, is there any other way that, you know, that we can do something here? You know, and, you know, it might be that you're just so thrown off because they're so ugly that you ask, like, is there any way we could pass this instead? So, you know, if, I mean, if, especially if you've taken a lot of time to make your cocktail hour look beautiful. And then to see over on one of the tables that you have a beautiful linen on, and you maybe put some flowers on it too to like really dress it up. And then there's a big aluminum chafing dish with, they're just ugly, you know? Yeah. So ask about those things in advance. Like, what are these presented in? What kind of vessels are you going to use? What kind of platters are you going to use as standards? And is there an option to upgrade these? Some caterers usually have, a much options. Better selection, you know, than like venues like hotels.
But that points out a huge eyesore that I often struggle with, and I'm sure you do too, Kelly, is when we upgrade a bar and then the staff sets their bar up and there's coolers on the sides of the bar and there's trash can on the other side of the bar. And it's just, you have to find out about those things if you're going to invest in a upgraded bar setup that, you know, it doesn't come in and get ruined by all these utilitary pieces. So,
because they're necessary.
Kind of mitigating that.
Yeah. But where can
you need to talk it through? Yeah. Talk it through with the venue. You know, what do you need? What kind of space do you need so that you know what you have to cover when upgrading?
Yeah. And guys, it's not that we're trying to scare you into saying that or thinking that you have to upgrade all of these things. We just want you to be aware of it so that if you are, especially if you are making investments to make an area, you know, more beautiful than it already is, that something just doesn't throw it off, you know, like after you've done all that work. So like tray tables.
Yes. Right.
Those are those things at restaurants, you know, guys, they carry them on their shoulder on one side and then they have the big brown tray. And they need, the servers need somewhere to be able to put the dirty glassware and garbage, empty wine bottles and things like that. They have to have somewhere to put that to as they go grab and clean up all the little cocktail tables and things. So, and this is in your reception too, but they become, like you said, an eyesore. So if there's a way to just hide those a little bit, even with just bringing in, you know, half a dozen trees that they can be sitting behind just as a cute little like.
Or just move them 2 feet to the right or left so they're not behind the bride and groom.
Yeah.
Or bride or groom. Not behind your key elements or right behind a cake when you're cutting the cake. So, you know, having an advocate in your corner to like kind of mitigate those placements.
Yeah. And like we spoke about before, lighting is a big thing. If your cocktail hour is going to be under the stars, or if you're in a ballroom, you want to ask what does come included and what are the different options for lighting. This can be a little bit more complicated because venues may have things that they offer that also rental companies offer, and also maybe your DJ offers. So if you can take the time to, you know, get the pricing from each one and find out what all the different availabilities are between like pin spotting and full wash lighting and chandeliers and is there a dimmer on this?
Yeah, I was going to say when you're doing that walkthrough, seeing what dims and what doesn't.
Yeah. That really can add up very quickly.
Of times it's interesting what lights are on the same circuit and cannot be separated or changed.
Yes, yes. And what you do see all the time, and I feel very confident in saying this, is that all the lighting that you see outside these days on Instagram or Pinterest or anything like that is the cafe lighting. There are other options out there. So you're just not seeing them quite as often. So don't be afraid to ask your lighting engineer or your rental company what other lighting options are there if that's not the look I'm going for. Because if you're having, you know, maybe a, again, this is for outside, really super elegant, you know, white tie wedding, you know, where you've got flooring throughout and cafe lights and high glam, let's say very glamorous. Cafe lights don't really go with that, you know, in my, from my perspective. So in that case, you're going to need some kind of pin spotting or what we call a moon balloon or air star that just give that ambient glow. I mean, of course, you can always use candles, but you do need spatial lighting. You yeah. have to cover like all of the walking areas and things like that. So just, you know, ask what is available and what your venue and sites locations have for options. But then you can also reach out to lighting companies to do the same and rental companies. Anything else for a cocktail hour?
I don't think so.
We talked about bars.
For cocktail.
We talked about bars. We talked about tables, chairs. You want to ask about same as before for those seated cocktail tables. Yeah. Dimensions of tables.
Seated,
bar stools.
Making sure that the venue's linens go to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using them, if you're using venue's linens, make sure they go to the floor. Oftentimes, if you are going to tie back linens, you're going to get a larger, you're going to want to make sure it's larger. So if you do plan on tying them back, like your high top tables, they need to be 132s instead of 120s. 120 is going to go to the ground. 132 is going to be able to be tied back. And then also depending on the size of the high top tables, if they are like 36, I often like to go with a 132, a larger linen. So it puddles just a little bit. Even if I'm not tying back, or if they're smaller, then that's way too big.
Yeah.
So kind of just getting all the dimensions.
Yeah. And these are things that you can look, you can Google, guys. These dimensions are all online, very easy to find.
You can just tell, you know, you can call your linen rep when you're making your decisions for what linens you want. You can give them the dimensions and,
they'll
ask questions like, are you tying them back? Is it outside? Is it inside? Is it going to be windy? You know, things like that just to help you.
Yeah, lean on your experts for sure. Mm-hmm. They're happy to answer the questions so that in the end they have a happy client or a happy customer, right?
And your product looks good.
Yeah. Okay, so we talked about lighting. We talked about food presentation. We talked about tables. We talked about chairs. I don't think there's really anything else for cocktails. Signage. If you have signage, you want to ask your venue if they include easels. Some do, some do not.
That's true.
And
some you want and some don't. Yeah. Some you don't want.
Some of them are really bad and you don't want them. Sometimes you're better at Staples.
yeah, for sure.
Buying the $9 easel than, you know, what they have.
Also weather, though. If it is outside, it's very seldom that a basic easel is going to hold up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe bar backs too. Some bar back shelving if you want that look.
Mm-hmm.
That's another upgrade.
Yeah.
You can always bring in shelving for the glassware to be placed on. But again, speaking with your bartender, whoever's going to be staffing and serving your guests, making sure that it is what they need for their setup.
Yeah. And if you are considering renting full bar areas where it's just the bar and potentially the bar back, when you make that order, send it to your venue manager if you don't have a planner and say, we are renting this for the wedding. Is this going to work there? You know what I mean? Like, you know, can your bartenders be prepared to set this up? We are also renting glassware. You know, like you have to let your venue manager or catering coordinator know when you're making these rental items, when you're, you know, ordering these things for your wedding, so that they can prepare in advance for how they're going to set it up. Like, don't just throw this at them. That's not nice.
Right. Well, it's just not going to look good.
No. But if that means, let's say you get all this beautiful, blue glassware for just your cocktail hour. Like, that's the only place you're going to use it. And you've got five different shades of blue. You know, like there's blue, one color of blue for the rocks and another one for the tall Pilsner-like ones. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the name is escaping me. And then martini glasses and, you know, beer glasses and all of those things, if you've invested all of this and then they don't necessarily have somewhere to put it,
yeah,
that could be a problem. It could be a problem. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. And you want them staged appropriately for something like that. Okay. Should we move to reception?
Let's do it.
Okay. Lots here. Oh, so much. Okay. So we talked about all of the things that you could, that are standard that you need to check on. Mm-hmm. All of those things can be upgraded.
Yeah.
Every last
all
one
of it. Everything.
Okay.
And often.
What are the favorite things that you like to upgrade, Corinne?
Tables. You know, I always love to upgrade my table sizes. I always like to bring in feasting or king's tables, different venues and different rental companies call them different things, but basically a wider table. I like a wider tabletop. Generally, your venue is going to include a 30-inch table, whether it's 8 foot or 6 foot or 4 foot, they're going to be 30 inches wide, which some people love this. I know, Kelly, I think you love,
I love
the a narrower table.
Yeah.
For me, I just want, you know, more space, more room, a larger centerpiece. Because if you have the venues tables and you have a large charger plate, then your space in the center of that table is maybe 5 inches. Mm-hmm. Would you say?
Yep.
So super tiny, which is great if you have a large count and you need that space. I mean, I've often used them if you have a large count and I need that space. Right. Then they're like a godsend.
Right.
But if I want that, you know, that largely dressed table and like bread and butter plates and, you know, full place setting and candles and big centerpieces and all the things, then I definitely want to upgrade to a larger table.
Okay. So I'm going to say this. I'm going to stop now because you know that's in our series. So Corinne and I were doing a whole series. Oh. So
all right.
I knew this was going to happen at some point when we got here because it's something that we both feel so strongly about. So Corinne and I are doing a whole series, guys, and this is the first one. And then we've got another one that is just about table shapes and sizes.
Back it up.
And then another one, and I can't even recall what that is. But there's a few things. So I'm going to stop us there.
Yeah.
And just know that we think
you can upgrade your table.
You can upgrade
if you want to.
So
something else is, which is really interesting, is they often, a lot of venues have what they call classroom tables. So they have 10-inch tables. So you can build a table.
10, 15, or 18. We can go on all day about this. But so again, those could be free upgrades though.
Yeah.
You know, because if you like, very traditionally, receptions are round and they come in 60 or 72 inches. But when we're saying upgrading, we're saying go past that maybe just a bit. Like think outside of the box, you know, do you want to do long tables where you have many of your guests seated at and fewer tables? Or do you want to do shorter tables that are wider that could potentially fit a few more people? But you can build those sometimes often with the standard included that they have at your venue. But then there's the option to also rent from outside and truly upgrade even more so with, let's say, wood tables, mirror top tables, white tables, high communal tables.
Let's just talk all tables at our other, during our next episode.
Absolutely.
We'll deep dive into tables.
We are definitely going to deep dive in that episode.
Because that is a long and glorious conversation.
Other things that you can upgrade. Linens are a big one. And here's, it is so rare that I say, okay, let's just use what's standard and included for linens. Because most places do not include linens that go to the floor, or they're so thin that you can see through them. And
that's what I was going to mention.
Oh.
You can see the tabletop and any discoloration on the tabletop through the linen.
And they're like hard, like even when you put your wrists down on the side of the tables or the tables are so in such bad shape that you can feel that there's chunks missing. Guys, this is real deal. We're just being honest with you here.
Like, it's real.
So you want to pay attention.
Real and common.
Yeah, really. So, you know, that's why more often than not, that's a line item that I'm like, guys, this has to be in there. Because
even if you're upgrading for the same thing, like even if it's linen. Another white polyester linen, you do need that. Yeah, because you need double layers. You need it to go to the floor and you need it to be like clean.
Yeah. Clean is a big one.
You know, so and all the same, like, color.
We're not saying that they use like there's food particles from a previous wedding. It's like the ones that they receive from the linen company they rent from are truly like have been used 40 times and there's yellow spots that are stuck there forever. So they're just
and
a
just
much
having
lower
options.
Quality.
Yeah. And having options for discoloration to switch out, because, you know, if you do go with the standard included linen, oftentimes there's like one has a yellow hue, one has more of a white hue, one has, you know, like, and or they're just too short.
Yeah.
You know, it's like strangely like short.
Exactly.
like it was an accident.
Exactly.
So
you can upgrade said before, the bars. You can upgrade.
Yeah.
I think staging and dance floors are one of my those are two of my favorite things inside of a reception, whether inside or outside, that I'd love to upgrade when I have that opportunity. Yeah. Love to.
I love a good upgraded dance floor. It just covers so much real estate that it makes such a big impact in your space.
Yes, exactly that. And, you know, for me, when I am designing, I want to get the most out of the things that mean the most. That's where your eyes are attracted almost the entire time.
It's your centerpiece.
Yes. Yeah. So if you've got this huge area, this footprint in your room that could really, I mean, you could make it disappear easily, you know, and you can just use the parquet dance floor that comes with it if that's the case. It just makes so much sense when there's that possibility to upgrade there. Then some of the other locations just aren't as visibly seen. That
not as impactful.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. If you need to brighten up a room, like throw in a white dance floor, just
absolutely.
Do that. It's done.
Couldn't agree more. And there's lots of cool dance floors out there. There's, you know, solid white, and there's different kinds. I do want to bring this up now, because often when you look at images online, white dance floors, there's a couple different kinds. There's the grid kind that are put together. You're still going to see the lines, but you can also do a vinyl sealed, which is like it's completely covered in vinyl and it's a solid white. Like you're not going to see the lines in between, which is
it's called like wrapped or
exactly.
And then if you are getting wrapped, you may as well customize it, because that's only going to be a couple more $100.
Yes.
So why not? And often it doesn't mean a monogram. I think a lot of times, you know, certain areas in a wedding just equate certain things to people. So I know when I mention to my clients, like, oh, we can upgrade the dance floor, they're like, oh, we don't want our initials on it. And it's like, I know, you know, like you could have anything on it, you know, like the matching the print of your linens on it or anything from your stationery or like a garden or, you know, we're doing like banana leaves on one that's coming up. And
I had an amazing one last year, and I do want to bring this up because it happened at the very beginning of COVID. And so it was one of those unfortunate circumstances where we didn't get to have the wedding at the venue. We ended up having to move it to their home. But I really hated this space where the dance floor was going to be, because it was a cement pad for the entire reception. And I couldn't get past it. It was just so empty and ugly there. So I went to a sign maker, and because I said, you know, when you go to like you see these marathons and they have like the banner that's across where the runners come across and the, you know, yay, get their hands in the air, that's on a street. So if you can put something on a street, that means you can put it on a cement pad, you know, a nice flat pad. So I designed a beautiful, huge street. I don't know what it was made out of, Corinne, to be honest with you. Yeah. But it was full floral throughout, and it adhered right to the cement, and then they just pull it right back up. So that's an option. We did it at their home. And initially the thought was, let's put it on the road right before you pull into their driveway. And when they got there, they're like, we could put it on your tile floors inside. And so we did that, you know, in the end. We're like, okay, we'll get better use out of it here. So they were able to put it down there. So this is not just your dance floor that you're putting on top of what is included at your reception with the parquet that we're, you know, you can do this outside on a cement pad or anything like that as well. Mm-hmm. There's lots of ways to upgrade that. Staging, you brought up a great opportunity there. What kind of staging do you like to offer?
I love the wood surrounds with, so you can, you know, upgrade the inserts and, you know, add and customize to the little like details on your stage surround.
Yeah.
So I kind of like a nice wood that we can upgrade.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even further.
So they can be those stage surrounds or stage wraps, some call them riser covers. I can't think of anything else really that they would call it. Panels, stage panels.
Yeah.
So those are all available through rental companies typically. And they also have these for bars as well. I love the ones with the inserts where you can apply,
it's my favorite.
You know, things that there. Some of them can, you can have some neat lighting in there. And some, you would put there's like mounted foam that can be pressed into it. I personally like to order peel and stick wallpaper. Like there's just, there's so many ways
Endless.
That you can detail.
Yeah.
There's so many ways to upgrade this.
Customize these
and
things.
And here's the other option is to put plants in front of it. Through like like if you had, let's say you had a bunch of floral at your ceremony down the aisle on both sides of the aisle.
That's always the place for it.
Oh my gosh. Put it right there. It's usually the perfect size to be able to surround a stage if you've gone all the way down the aisle with the florals. And then we're talking about repurposing here. So that's like a kind of a free upgrade when you think about it, you know, if you were doing that. You can't do that with cocktail hour, but you can do it with reception because your floral designers would have that time, that 1 hour during cocktail hour to move it from ceremony to your reception space. So in front of the band, that is a fantastic place. Or renting foliage to be surrounding there. Because again, you can do, it's fine to do skirting, but if you have the option and wiggle room to be able to repurpose or to upgrade that area, it's key. And I'm going to tell you why it's key.
It's a centerpiece.
But let's think about the most important pictures that you're going to take there. First dance.
First dance.
Parent dances.
Parent dances.
Toasts. It's always the background. Yep. It's always the background for these.
Yeah.
And it is also always for your guests. That is what they're looking at the whole time. So why not make that beautiful? Let's talk.
Backdrop to the stage.
Backdrop. That was exactly where I was headed next.
Because we're on centerpiece. Like that's where you focus.
Yep.
Focus on where the couple is sitting, the dance floor, and the stage.
Yep.
That is the centerpiece of the entire wedding. So I always recommend starting there. And if that means that there's candles on the tables and that's it, like sometimes that's better.
Yeah, it does.
And beef up the centerpiece of the room, which is these pieces.
Yeah. So I think what Corinne and I are getting to here is everyone focuses so much on table centerpieces.
Tabletops, yes.
Not always necessary. Like if you really think about like bird's eye view and also
all your photos,
all your photos,
photo backdrops.
But it just in.
And where the guests are looking.
Where
the
guests are looking the whole time. Yeah. Yes. During dinner when they're conversing, what's in front of them should be beautiful. I will not deny that. But for such...
Yeah, if it can be. Mm-hmm. If it can be, it should be.
Yes.
But if budget is an issue, then candlelight is sufficient. You know, like just
it goes a long
ambiance.
It goes just a ambience. Long way.
Yeah.
So what we're saying here is that's the biggest portion of your room. So mm-hmm. maybe consider that for the highest consideration for upgrading is that yeah. that one line that goes from where you are sitting to the dance floor to the stage that your band or DJ is on and behind mm-hmm. them. Like follow that yep. line and then exactly. work your way out. Then yep. work your way exactly. out to the tables. And then the bars or food stations.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we both agree on this. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I might hit the bar before I even hit the tables, but.
Yeah, I really like a dress bar.
Because your guests go
I'm
and
not
go,
gonna
and go
lie.
There.
I love it.
Because your guests are going there all night.
They are.
So I hit those pieces and then, you know, guest table is last.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's where the money should go last.
But. Okay, so let's say we do have wiggle room and we can do upgrades on the table. Oh my goodness, the things that you can upgrade on yeah. your tables, guys. And this is where Kern and I start dancing things. In our seats.
Yes.
Because we yeah. love a good detail.
I'm all about filling the table with just upgraded everything. We're talking salt and pepper.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things to upgrade is the salt and pepper dishes.
Really?
I love a good pinch dish. I just think it brings so much like organic, like comfy feelings to mm-hmm. a table is to like upgrade your like salt and pepper and, yeah. and not salt and pepper. I don't do shakers. I like to do like a pinch dish, like a little tiny dish. Where you can see your salt and pepper and has a little spoon and yeah. it just,
you know, Corinne, on my
brings the yummy.
You know, I keep my dining table set in my house. You know, you've yeah. been here for dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have bench dishes on yeah. my table, like even
but
at
I
home.
Also want to caveat that with I also don't think you should have to have salt and pepper at
no.
all
no.
on the table. If
it's more for good. Like it's so, pretty detailed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And like bread and butter dishes and your bread and butter spreader and
yeah.
just upgrading
all of
those.
Oh, you know what I'm
pieces,
all about
I
these
love.
Days? My current obsession is the
butter molds.
Yes.
Is it butter molds? I'm on it too.
Oh,
I know.
Girl, I know. All about it. All about it. I mean, they're just so cute. And you can do, I was inspired when I went to New York. The last time I went to New York, we went to a restaurant and they gave us each individual. What do you call them? I call them a butter pat plate.
Oh,
you know, but it's, yeah. I mean, they had little ones with little domes. And when I was cleaning up my, oh. when I got my warehouse cleaned out last week, we found a
you
whole
found them.
Tub of them. I was like, oh, I didn't, and I don't even know why I had them. Like, I don't remember buying them, but I was like, I cannot wait to use these. But
it seems frivolous, but these little things are everything.
Yeah. Well, I know this because I went out to dinner at a restaurant in New York City and they had this for
like,
me.
This
and I was
is
like,
it.
This is so cute. Like, I feel yeah. so special. And they had a wax paper on it that had the restaurant logo on top. I was like, this is fancy. Okay. But since then, I have also found out there's some things called butter stamps that are kind of wax seals mm-hmm. that you can have
yeah.
made so that your butter is yes. also cute and personalized. I mean, mm-hmm. come on.
And they have molds, you know, you could also get the molds.
Yeah.
So, you so they're made into the shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So cool.
So cool. So cool. Mm-hmm. So that's a great upgrade. Other things you can upgrade on table, your play settings. And by play yeah. settings, we're talking about chargers,
mm-hmm.
Your actual plates, your, mm-hmm. And when we say plates, there's different levels of plates. There's your base plate, which is like the I'm gonna start at the bottom and work my way up, and let me know if I forget one.
Sure.
Karen. So you've got your charger. You could mm-hmm. do a placemat first if you want to, then a charger, sure. then a base plate, and then a salad plate, and then what I call a topper, but I don't. That could I guess also be the salad plate, and then butter. plate is also an option. Yep. I'm not a big fan of butter plates, the bread and butter plates.
Really?
Yeah, no.
I love a bread and butter plate.
I know. And here's
that is like, I love it.
I know
it.
Why there's a difference.
An upgraded. I don't like a standard at all.
No, no.
But an upgrade spot.
And here's why we're so different with that. It's because you love the wider table and I love the table size. Tables.
Yep. That's why.
So that's why. Because you've got all the extra.
There's no room on it. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
So, like I said, placemat, charger, base plate, salad plate, topper.
And by base plate, you mean dinner plate.
Yeah, like entree size.
Yep.
So, and then there's different dimensions and you have to consider all of these things. But what, mm-hmm. again, when you came in the first day, you took a picture or asked to see what a standard included is mm-hmm. for these locations. So then based on that, you can go to rental companies. And there are rental companies that do like all of the things. But there are also rental companies that only do place settings that you can mm-hmm. go to for all of these different things.
All your fanciness.
All the fanciness that you want to do.
I always say, like, as far as order of importance, I always like to start with first, I like to find out what the color palette is, because if the silverware, because that's generally what it is, mm-hmm. it's usually silver, if that's going to throw off your design aesthetic because you have all these gold details and accents, then upgrading that would be the first step.
Yeah.
I would say so that it, you know, doesn't throw off your, you know, aesthetic would be the flatware. But if silver is okay, then I always recommend the charger plate being that first upgrade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it is, you know, the largest real estate on the table. Mm-hmm. And then if you don't have the budget for that, a really nice trick that I often do just to make the place setting look nicer is to see if the venue has enough plate to double plate. So using a plate, one of the venue's plates for your place setting to be preset at the table when guests arrive. Mm-hmm. But you have to make sure that venue has enough plates where they can then also plate the dinner on plates to deliver it.
So they're going to switch them out when they come through.
Yeah.
They're going to take the empty double plate and put the new one down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that would be the next phase. Mm-hmm. But then if you do have the budget for the charger plate and you do have the budget for the flatware, then having a top plate or a base plate or an entree plate is really nice, but keep in consideration it's just for show.
Yep.
Unless you are serving family style.
Yes.
Or stations and you want your guests to take that plate to the station.
Right.
In which case I would set both plates at the station and at the place setting. Mm-hmm. Just for those guests that didn't pick up the plate or didn't get the memo or didn't want to or didn't want them to have to.
Yeah.
And then I often like to do another little trick is I often like to do a dessert plate on top instead of the salad plate. It's not proper as far as dimensions, but the majority of guests aren't going to be able to tell that. But that way, when the guest or when the staff pulls the salad or the dessert plate to serve your salad, they can then use that dessert plate to actually serve the dessert later.
Yeah.
So then you have an upgraded dessert plate that's actually useful later as well. So then it comes out twice.
Right.
Whereas if you do a salad plate just for show, it's just that place setting, it gets pulled and never seen again.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Things that you can eat, like, so you brought up flatware. That is one thing that you can also upgrade.
And making sure that you ask all the questions for your service to make sure you have the proper flatware.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you choose your menu, you need to find out, okay, what flatware do I need for this menu to happen? Because let's say you've got a pasta course, that means you're going to need another fork. And if you've got a soup course, you need another spoon. So you're going to have to ask specifically how many and of what types of utensils do I need for each place setting. You're going to ask your catering and sales, catering and service, you know, your
guest. What am I catering manager.
To say?
Catering sales manager.
Yeah. Or your coordinator there at the venue.
And oftentimes I find that clients will upgrade their flatware and not taking consideration their bread and butter bread and butter knife. Like that's one piece that's going to, you know, your venue is going to then set the whole table with the bread and butter plate and the silver bread and butter knife that doesn't match all the rest of your flatware.
So just let them know. Don't even bring it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't bring it out.
Yeah.
Don't bring it out. And then making sure that if you don't upgrade your dessert flatware, that they know to serve your dessert with their fork.
Right.
Just really talking through the whole catering.
Which I think that is okay. That once everything else is gone, if you're having your cake served later or dessert served later, once all the rest of the utensils are gone, it's fine. Like really,
that's
fine there. Another way to upgrade your place setting is with paper details.
Yeah.
Menu cards. I love having my guest names in calligraphy on a plate, like a base plate. I love to do that when I can. But that's when you're assigning every single seat. It's the only way to do it, guys.
But I love a place setting. I love a place card. I love assigning seats because in your life do you get to do that? Yeah. And it's really intentional putting, you know, like-minded people together or not like-minded people and getting them to know each other.
Yeah.
And just really kind of like creating an atmosphere, just further customizing that experience for your guests is really special at a wedding.
Yeah, I do it even at my home when we have eight people.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Me too. And I have to say, just walking up to a table and seeing your name is just special.
Yeah, agreed.
And never is there a case where I feel like you don't need a menu. Need is a strong word, but I just feel like
it's such a great layer.
It's such a great layer, and it's really nice to know what you're gonna be eating. Mm-hmm. And I understand if your guests have already selected fish, but that doesn't tell them what they're eating at all. It just tells them that it's gonna be fish.
Right.
You know, what is that coming with? How is it dressed? What kind of fish? So I think it is really, really just really a nice place to upgrade and to bring in your aesthetic into the table. It's like the least expensive way to kind of bring the aesthetic onto the tabletop too.
Absolutely. And there's so many different options when it comes to not only menus, but place cards, you know,
even if it's stations, it's nice to know what's at the station before having to peruse around.
Yes, absolutely agree with you on that. Yeah. Like so that they, when they sit down, it's not just for seated meals, guys. If you're having a buffet or stations, or cocktail style reception, don't think for a minute that means you're off the hook for menus. I mean, you don't have to do this, but it goes even further.
A long way.
And let me tell you something, that shaves time. If you're going to have a buffet,
they can prepare.
Yeah. They're like, okay, I know when I'm going up there, I'm going to the carving station and the mashed potato bar, and I'm getting some fresh cut grouper. Like, that's their jam, and they don't have to worry about going to the other ones, or you know, they know in advance,
they know what's there.
And let me tell you something, those buffet and station lines can get long, so if they can see if you can eliminate just even a few minutes to give you more celebration time in the end, fantastic. Another thing, when we were talking about like linen upgrades, napkins, maybe you don't have enough to be able to do both. But even if you upgrade just your napkin for your place setting, it can make a big difference. And they can truly be a very minimal cost. In most places, they're 50 cents to $2 each. So if you consider, you know, $20 a table to like really make a huge upgrade, because, you know, it that can go a really long way. Or I love the solid napkin ring. Oh, give me all the napkin rings. So that's another thing that you can do. And again, you can get this through rental companies or place setting rental companies. I'm going to be honest with you, they're really easy to find online. And typically, depending on what you're looking at, can be very inexpensive. Yeah.
I do want to, my design 2 cents I want to throw in. I think that often it's not the best case to upgrade your napkin to a solid napkin color, because I don't feel like that really elevates your design as much. I think going with like a pattern is really a great way, because it just kind of blends with the standard linen if you're not upgrading the linens on the table. So doing a pattern that has a little bit of the color that's already in that standard linen.
So I'm going to disagree with you on that one. I know you're okay with that. Because I feel like depending on your place setting and your paper details, that could really help. Or depending on, you know, what you've brought in color-wise for your floral, that could help tie those things together. Or tie from floral to chairs. There's the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's equal opportunity there. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
So but yeah. I fully understand.
Yeah.
Why you would.
I feel like sometimes, most of the time, it kind of goes wrong.
I don't agree.
You know, it's like, oh, my colors. Really?
No.
I feel like a lot of times, you know, people will be like, oh, my color is like blue and pink, so I'll have to get like blue napkins and then like pink linens. It's like, no. There's just a more elevated way to go about it. And I often feel like having like some kind of a pattern or something that has a softer transition from table linens to napkin linens. Because my goal in design is always to make everything that you're going to keep, all the inclusions, to make them look like they were hand selected. Mm-hmm. So if you are keeping, say, the venue's white linen, then including that same kind of material in the napkin and having some white in there makes it look like you purposely hand selected that white linen. Just 2 cents of design there, but
your perspective.
Just ideas. Yeah, mine. Yes. But I do love a good like napkin ring. If you use the venue's base linen and base napkin and then adding a napkin ring, I feel like that's a good elevator.
A napkin ring, but maybe it's tied with something or embellished with a mini, not leaf, but like a
sprig. Bloom or a leaf or a sprig. Yeah.
That can
having a natural element on the tabletop is
anything
always
you can do to soften
a win.
It up. Absolutely.
And
then you can also upgrade your table with candlelight. And that's something you're probably going to work with your floral designer on or your wedding designer or stylist. Some venues will include just 4 tea lights or votives.
Right. Sure.
I mean, you can keep them there, but you can definitely upgrade that too with lots of different options. Lots of different options. And I think probably the final thing is lighting. Whew, this is a big, important one. Once you find out what's included, it's important to find as many pictures as possible on how that room looks in the evening with different kinds of lighting so that you can make good design choices. It's also a great opportunity to reach out to a lighting engineer who can tell you what's possible. And if you can do that, I would say after you meet with your floral designer so you know what's going on the table and where your statement things are going to be in the room, you know, where you're going to have your cake, where you're going to have your bars, where the high centerpieces are going to be, if that's the case, just once your layout is done, so that they can guide you through, okay, here are the different things that we can do. And that you should do to make this room look great. You know, you may have some like really ugly spots in the room that you want to be hidden. And that's what you do is you bring the focus somewhere else. Like you don't want to distract from those like locations. Like
pin spots are a great way to add.
Oh, yeah.
Or to do that. Add depth in the room and highlight some of your tall pieces.
Exactly. But like you might just have ugly walls too.
Sure.
You need to address all the walls. And that can be done with, I think a lot of times people go straight to draping, but that can also be done with really cool lighting. You know, those are a couple of different ways that you can upgrade an area. But you definitely, I mean, it's so important. I can't stress it enough to know what those places look like at night. And, you know, most often when you go to visit your venue, it's during the day. So you're relying completely on what pictures that you can find. And they can be very, like I said in the beginning, very,
very
difficult
misleading.
To find those. So,
and just misleading, too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, editing does crazy things to images.
It's like, oh, all these people are dancing in the light? No, they're not.
No.
That's flash photography at its finest, you know?
Yeah.
So really important if you have that opportunity to see your venue space indoors or outdoors with lighting so that mm-hmm. you know what you're up against, or, you know, and what can be upgraded or should be upgraded.
Sure.
Some ballrooms have spectacular lighting already built in where, you know, it's just a flip of the switch and they don't charge you anything. So you don't have upgrades to do. And then some places you have to start from scratch with it, like, you know, mm-hmm. where there's just nothing, especially if you know, you're outside. You have to bring all of the things in. So, yeah. Is there anything else that you can think of, Corinne, that would be upgradable in a reception?
We
talked about tabletops. We talked about dance floors and backdrops.
The bars again.
We talked flooring. About the bars. Huh?
Flooring.
I mean, if you really want to go upgrade.
If you want to get bougie with it, you could definitely recover a floor. Don't put it past me to recover a floor.
No. Or.
But yeah.
Create new carpeting, space by covering
hardwood. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
In all of these instances, when it comes to upgrading flooring, the most important thing that you have to consider is time, installation time.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be able to go to your venue and say, I want to do these major installations.
Such a good point.
It's going to take this much time. Can I have access beginning at blank? You know, and it might be the day before. And they may say, yes, absolutely, you can do it. It's going to be $4,000
for
you to rent it for that day.
Absolutely.
Or they might be like, there's no one using it. Yeah, you can absolutely start the day before. So,
And that goes with draping as well. That's another one of those pieces that takes a lot of time for setup.
And it almost always has to go first before everything else.
Yeah. Or any floral installations. I mean, we love a good installation.
Yeah.
So
ceiling treatments is what you're
talking
about.
Any of those. Yeah. Anything hanging from the ceiling is going to take time to rig.
Mm-hmm.
So finding that out, if you're adding lighting from the ceiling, if you're adding lanterns, if you're hanging floral displays or anything like that, you're going to want to find out about that setup time.
So I think that might be it, Corinne.
I think so.
This is a very long episode.
It is.
But I mean, I don't think we could have left any of that out.
It's juicy.
It's always
juicy.
You know,
it's juicy.
I feel like this should bring, I mean, it's an overwhelming amount of information. And now you realize all of the different things that you do need to ask about, because they could take its toll on your spending plan if you're not prepared in advance.
But
we kind of wanted this also to be an exciting episode to think about all of the things that you have the opportunity to upgrade that maybe you weren't thinking of before.
That made me think of something else.
What?
And another thing. So cake table, making sure that there's a proper size cake table.
Amen, girl. You know I'm all about this.
Oh, my goodness. It's always way too big.
Oh, my gosh.
Way too big.
Please, can we have some control over the cake table?
Yeah. And then also, if you're doing a sweetheart, finding out what size that is. I know we're going to talk later about that specific.
Yeah.
But
save it for
finding out what shape, what size.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then also, I also thought of, it's so funny, all these things came flooding. I'm like, what? We're going to stop? Like, let's make sure. delivering welcome bags, the fee for that.
Sometimes it's
included, and sometimes there's an additional fee for delivering welcome bags to your guests' rooms. So that can cost.
You don't see me right now, but she said this and the look of my face. I saw the look of my face because we can see each other. I started rubbing my forehead.
It's a whole thing.
Because it's a whole thing. I mean, getting a good welcome bag is great. The costs involved, you've really got to be prepared for. Because So when we talk about upgrading, this is you do it or you don't. Doing it is an upgrade. The truly disposable welcome bag versus a high quality, keep these items. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited to have them, is an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
Personalized to standard, everyone gets the same thing. Upgrade. When I say personalized, meaning they have a tag for each person,
mm-hmm.
or a certain, it's built for the certain amount of people that are in that room versus, like, let's say you could do all of your welcome bags or boxes built for two people. You know, like there's sure. two koozies in it. Yeah. There's two
every
of everything.
Every person gets one, or every couple gets one.
Yeah.
And if you're single, you get one as well for two.
And it's all, but the second that in your locations that you're dropping these off at may or may not charge fees for just custom or
in any case,
listen, or like they may not charge at all, but they are also going to ask you, or you need to ask, are they picked up at the desk when they check in, or are they delivered to the rooms? Mm-hmm. And the delivering to the rooms is wonderful, but also ask, is it delivered in the room when they get there, or is it just delivered at some point the day they arrive?
Right.
And so there
because
could be
almost
additional
always,
costs. That's always the
itinerary
nightmare.
With the welcome information, so they need it before they get into the room often.
I feel
so
like welcome bags could be their own episode.
It's a whole thing.
I feel like welcome bags and guest guides. Like that's
mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay, that's a whole episode.
Yeah, for sure.
You see me, I keep rubbing my head because it gives me a headache to like even think about those things. Corinne, this was so good. And think it was such a great starter episode for our mini series.
I love it.
Which we need to come up with a name for.
Thanks
our
mini series. Keeping me off the tangents.
I know.
Dipping into all those
things. I know. Well, we had this problem last time too. Or maybe mm-hmm. not the last. I think the first episode we kept talking about.
Yeah. Everybody else's episodes.
Hmm?
Everyone else's episodes.
No, I think we were supposed to be talking about one thing and we kept talking about things that were like really, truly should have had its own episode. You know, I was doing that episode with someone else. I think with Chef Greg from Taste Buds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this is
catering.
Yeah, it was a catering episode. So, but thank you again. I really appreciate, you know, and love that we have such differing opinions on things.
Yeah, that's the best. That's the best. Options.
Yeah, I better not ever see a solid color napkin at your. Just kidding.
You will.
It'll be a soft transition.
It'll be a soft transition.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I do love them, but I love good. I think it's because I love napkin rings so much that I'm like for the solid color linen so often, but I digress.
You know, specifically, I'm talking about if you're keeping the venues white. Polyester, linen. That's what I was specific to.
Okay.
Then you don't do a solid napkin color in your wedding colors.
No, that's what I'm saying. No. If everything else is white, that's really gonna throw things off.
Yeah.
Unless
so pattern with white in it.
Unless
that's your upgrade.
Unless you can tie from the floral to the napkin to the chair. If that is the one thing that pulls those three things together, then I can. You're still giving me that look. But like, if there's
Sure.
So we're never going to agree on this, but that's okay.
So I agree with you. I just don't know what napkin's going to do that. That's my point. Like, I agree with you, but I'm trying to think of an instance where that napkin is going to like bring in the chair and the florals simultaneously.
I feel like a honey or a chestnut. I feel like that could
a honey or a chestnut napkin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like a beige?
Sure.
I probably shouldn't use honey. But there's some wood chairs that I really feel like that can be helpful.
I could see.
Mm-hmm.
I could see.
All right.
All right, fair.
We're going to have a napkin off.
like the napkin challenge.
Yeah, napkin challenge. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Like, we need to chair go. You're this given. Is this like is the your... longest episode we've ever done, like ever. But I think
fair.
It was good and very informative. So thank you. I really appreciate you. Okay.
Thank you.
I'll see you on episode 2 of our series, which we have to come up with a name for.
Got it.
I'm so glad to be able to share my wedding experiences and expertise with you, and that my co-hosts are so giving of theirs. We truly do want you to have the best time at your wedding, and our hope is that this podcast is helping you to make your engagement time while planning your wedding that much easier. May I ask a favor of you if this is the case? Would you just take a moment to leave a review of this podcast on your listening platform? It helps people just like you to find the podcast and to also find out their answer so they can make decisions. I would also absolutely love for you to give This Versus That podcast a shout out on your social media. You can find us at This Versus That Wedding Podcast on Instagram. And if you would like me to help you with a specific question, a wedding decision, please by all means ask. Send me a DM. I would love to hear from you. And maybe, just maybe even have you as a wedding guest on a future episode. How fun. Here's to another great wedding.